and welcome to the new ARC podcast, Series 2. We never thought we'd get there. We thought the Earth was going to explode. Zombie cats raining down from the skies. But we're not dead yet, so we get to keep on piling animals aboard our ARC. I am back with a different co-host, or a slightly Welsher version of Saf. Do you want to introduce yourself, Joe?
It would be funny if I said no right now, wouldn't it? My name's Joe, and Joe Wilkins from Aberystwyth in Mid Wales, so Shumai Pawb, Nosweth Dda. An ecologist by trade, but currently working a lot in nature campaigns, which is why I'm thrilled to be joining Elliot as a kind of co-host to talk about all the different biodiversity on this planet. I am going to caveat everything by saying that I'm also a bit of a rights of nature advocate, so some of this might be a bit of a hypothetical conversation and playing a little bit of devil's advocate in places, but just wanted to put that out there straight away. I'm not condoning any extinctions at all.
And as you can tell from that introduction, Joe is way too nice, which makes him perfect to play this role. We're going to put you on the spot here, Joe. We're going to have rapid-fire question round, okay? Favourite animal?
Bottlenose dolphin.
Dolphins? Did dolphins make it on the ARC? This is a callback. Yeah, dolphins are in.
Good, I am very glad about that.
Actually, though, since recording that episode, I have met many family members who've said they absolutely despise dolphins. So I was surprised I haven't met anyone like that till we recorded that episode. It's polarised people.
I'll be honest, like, dolphins are not... I know this episode's not about dolphins, but whilst we're on them, dolphins are not as innocent as they're kind of portrayed in media. Hmm. So, you know, they're still my favourite, but yeah, they're definitely no saints when it comes to the way they treat other marine life, especially if you're a porpoise. If you're a porpoise, you're definitely voting the dolphins off the ARC.
Yeah, well... unfortunately, we didn't have enough porpoises in our audience, so we're going to have to work on that for Series 2. It's important quality control. Fire question number 2. What is your preferred apocalypse for the Earth? I bet you haven't been asked that before.
Now, that is a really on-the-spot question. My preferred apocalypse. Well, I think as an ocean lover, maybe I'll have to go for a catastrophic flood as my favourite apocalypse. I have never
Very
been asked
topical.
That question. I have never
well,
been
like
asked that question.
I like biblical floods. Then we get to see off the ark in style.
Maybe that's what I'm going for. Yeah, I'm a sea lover. Whether the whole Earth being covered in ocean is a different question, but yeah, I'll go biblical flood as my favourite apocalypse.
Okay. And to absolutely undermine your credibility, how would you get rid of a dead body?
Well, I'm not going to say here because people might listen to this in the future. Sorry, I am going to keep no comment on that one.
No comment. Well, I almost destroyed my... co-host there. I could have just kept that audio clip and kept on playing it over everything you said.
But maybe you will, I don't know. You're in charge of the editing, so you've got full control over what I say.
With AI, deepfake, I'm just going to clone your voice and absolutely make up every one of your arguments.
Fine by me, fine. I'll just discredit it. Everyone knows my views, it's fine.
As mentioned, we are back for a new series of the new ARC, and being a new series, I think it's very timely to go over what the new ARC is all about, because I suspect a few of you will be very, very confused from my introduction. So, Joe, do you want to give us the lowdown on the premise for the new ARC? This is your test.
This is my test. This is see if I can remember your elevator pitch to me a few weeks back. The new ARC is effectively, we are discussing whether or not, basically the world is ending and species are being invited or being allowed onto this new ARC that is going to be jettisoned somewhere, onto a new planet, and we're here debating the animals or species that will make it onto this ark. And we're kind of giving the sides of the arguments, the pros and the cons, and then the audience, listeners out there, will actually have the final say on whether something makes it onto the ark or not. Most of the time, I will probably play it should go on the ark, because I want to build this incredibly huge ark. Elliot, bless him, will probably play the devil's advocate more often than not. But it's all in good humour. It's all in, you know, nobody is saying one species doesn't deserve anything. It's just discussing the merits and downfalls of various species, and doing research on some of them, I have learned stuff that I wish I'd never learned about some species before.
Yeah, you lose your innocence immediately on this. All animals are murderous nymphomaniacs, and I mean, there really isn't two ways about it. So it absolutely beats me how any animals make it on the new ark, but seemingly they do. We got pretty much 50-50 results from the first 30 episodes, so it's very intense to see which way it goes. We had obviously the shock result of cats being excluded aboard in episode 2. Yeah, and some of them do really throw you.
I would have voted domestic cats off the ark, because I think if we're in the process of saving loads of other species, having cats that are well-known hunters of many different things are probably not a good idea. So I would have voted domestic cats off the ark as well. But I was more shocked by the meerkat result, I believe, that the meerkats didn't make it onto the ark. And I think we spoke about this before, and the kind of throwback to the TV shows we used to watch when we were younger, and how then you realise that actually meerkats aren't that nice either, and they are an interesting set of characters. But I do remember the shows and you being kind of like swept away by the family drama. Like, it was kind of like Harry and Meghan Markle back in the day, but it was meerkats. That sort of drama.
Yeah, I've never drawn that analogy before. But
well, if Flower from Meerkat Manor could write a book, it would be an interesting read.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks also for just completely losing your entire voting public by saying you don't like cats. So I now do have that voice clip. And you are going to live to regret that.
Yeah, that's me gone. I love big cats, domestic cats. I'm also allergic to domestic cats. So I think that's another reason that I'd have them left off the ark, to be honest. They're not great for my asthma. So yeah, I can leave domestic cats. They can stay on this apocalyptic planet.
Fantastic. So yes, the Earth is about to explode in a plague of zombie cats. I don't know why we chose that apocalypse, but it seems appropriate. Or biblical flooding, take your pick, really. And we have a spaceship of varying size, dimensions, build, make, has been debated at various points as it became relevant. And somehow we are keeping two of each animal we decide to bring on board the Ark. In there, that point has also been debated, because apparently it was between 4 and 7 animals actually made it on the OG Ark of each kind. Fun fact for you there. So it is up to you. Each week we will bring a new animal before yourselves, the voting public. I will argue that it is an absolute wanker, and Joe will argue that it's the angel you haven't yet encountered.
Maybe you wouldn't argue it's an angel, but maybe it deserves a place on the ark. I think that's... I'm going to say that's setting expectations already. Yeah, I don't want to make anyone think that I'm going to pretend that, like, animals are angels, but it's more like they should get on the ark for some kind of standard reasons that everyone knows, but also some hopefully quite out there ones that people haven't heard about before. That's the plan, anyway.
And today, we are talking about
rhinos.
Yeah! I like that bit of pantomime. Unscripted. I'm surprised that worked. Okay,
I'm surprised.
Rhinos. Well, since you are new to the new Ark, Joe, why don't you start us off? Why should rhinos make it aboard? Because they shouldn't. They just shouldn't.
I feel like a lawyer making an opening statement in court or something, like trying to... I think I'm going to start by saying, you know, there's some really ecological arguments that I could make about the rhino. But I think I'm going to focus my opening argument on kind of the moral and the moral treatment of rhinos in the past, because I think they've had a hard time. They have been painted as kind of the just purely pure aggression, pure kind of... people have called them ugly quite a lot, which I think is quite harsh. And I think, you know, for putting up with millions of years of just being called ugly, they should make it onto the Ark. And I think that is my opening statement, is after all this time of being maltreated, they deserve a new life and a new chance to start somewhere new, where maybe, you know, they're not always compared to elephants and hippos, but maybe they are the stars of their own show. And doesn't each species deserve that chance? That here endeth my opening statement.
I think you have a point. I mean, they've been blown up by super volcanoes. There's a local rhino specimen in the Bristol Museum where I am. They got obliterated by a Nazi bomb. So that's having a pretty hard time in life, isn't it? So
yeah, like, you know, it's they've just been through a lot. Like, I was in the prep for this. I did some prep, actually. I was reading through some statements, and, you know, people have been calling them grotesque, blustering creatures. I can't remember who the quote was, but I've got it in quote marks, so it wasn't me. Like, and it was just this is a little bit harsh, this is. And I think that in itself was just reason just to let them on the Ark. Like, I kind of related to them a little bit, you know, people being harsh, and I was like, come on, you can take my ticket, come sit next to me. But, you know, that's, you know, I think we have to remember that they are kind of always portrayed. You know, when you watch a show, you kind of have, like, elephants being portrayed as wise and noble, and then you have, like, lions as king of the beasts and royal, and then rhinos are always, like, the kind of angry, they normally charge at everything, and I just think that's not a very accurate portrayal of a rhino, because in many cases, like, they just kind of, they do walk away, but then it's not the same story as being charged by a 3-ton rhino, and that makes the headlines, and throughout history, they've all kind of been made to feel be evil, when the other animals, who are just as evil, have kind of been given the benefit of the doubt, whereas the rhino has not.
And you just said they're evil, so I'll take that and run with it. So you're trying to argue that rhinos are pacifists. Did you know that half of all black rhino males and a third of all black rhino females die from infighting? They kill each other. That's quite a lot.
It's quite a lot, but there's many other species that also do that. And did you also know that there's been records, quite a lot of records actually, I was quite shocked at the numbers of elephants actually killing rhinos. I'm going to hinge a lot of my argument on the fact that, like, I guarantee you elephants will make it into the Ark. So I'm like, if they make it in, then...
they're already on the Ark.
Elephants. They're already on the Ark. Then, yeah. Like, rhinos, there's been multiple cases of rhinos being slaughtered by young bull elephants, and I'm like, if they can make it on, then the poor rhino deserves to make it on as well.
But given that we've got elephants on the Ark, elephant slaughter, actually often rape rhinos.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
is it a good idea to bring rhinos as well? Have we
This is a new planet that we're going to, so I would like to set up, you know, a new way of living. Maybe it's a case of different continents. We don't even know where this Ark is going. Like, this is like, maybe we can set them up on different continents, but I just think rhinos need to make it there, because they're actually shown to be far more keystone species than elephants in some cases per individual. So I think they would be because of the way they wallow in mud and stuff like that. They actually carry apparently more. This is a fact that I looked up. I haven't had a chance to fact check it, but. Who's ever cared about accuracy on this podcast? So,
100%.
Apparently, they carry far more mud per individual away from the wallowing sites, and that actually enriches the grasslands further away. So, a lot of creatures get credit for being these terraformers, but actually, the rhino is a pretty solid way to shape a landscape.
So. That just says to me they'll ruin your lawn. That's
no,
not a good thing.
No, we don't want lawns. I don't want lawns in my new planet.
I want lawns. Lawns are great. You can play croquet on them.
Who wants to play croquet?
What about golf courses on Earth 2.0?
Gosh, don't get me started on golf courses. That would be one thing that wouldn't make it on the Ark. For sure, golf would not make it anywhere near my Ark. I don't know why I'm saying it's my Ark, as if I have final say on this, but it's...
Yeah, you've just been kicked out, actually.
Golf is like a pointless sport, in my opinion. It just ruins a good walk. Like, just get out there. The other one's cricket. This is not related to rhinos, but cricket's also not making it. I know I've just upset billions of people around the world, but they're probably not going to listen to all of this, but as soon as I mention cricket, they're going to turn it off. But yeah, cricket, golf, not making it. Rhinos should make it, because I think rhinos are far more important than golf courses. Maybe that should be my opening statement.
I think you're beating even my superb record for making an outrageous number of enemies in a ridiculously short amount of time.
I set out, like, as I mean to go on. I'm just going to make enemies left, right, and centre. This is it. If anyone else wants to talk to me about golf, then let me know, because... Awful for biodiversity as well.
That's, well, debatable. Good for bird life, golf courses. They're often watered, so you get lots of... Anyway, we're getting slightly off topic already, which is another record for the new Ark. Another thing I found out... Did you know that rhinos eat a person each day?
What?
A person's worth of plants each day. But
yeah,
I was
going to say, hang on, excuse me, but there's a lot.
Let me continue.
Yep,
there are plenty of animals which have switched from being herbivores to carnivores. Things like, I don't know, pandas. Pandas, well, they went the other way. Sharks. So this switch is possible, and when rhinos inevitably evolve from being herbivores to carnivores, they are already eating a person a day. And in case you didn't know, rhinos run faster than Usain Bolt. You are not going to escape a hungry rhino. You are absolutely screwed when this happens. We're all going to be eaten alive by giant, thundering, great big grey beasts.
I know people on the listening to the podcast can't see my face right now, but it's one of bewilderment and kind of trying to comprehend what you are saying right now. I actually want to let you expand on this a little bit more and keep going. I am actually quite enjoying this argument that you're making.
Well, I mean, they can smell you half a mile away. It's like they say sharks can smell the blood in the water and they just laser point in on you. So they're just going to be homing evil human killers. Like, the next evolution of serial killers are going to be serial rhino killers. And you can imagine how much serial rhinos eat. So, I mean...
I am honestly bewildered. I'm just... when I listened to some of the podcasts from the past, I knew you kind of went on merry-go-rounds and carousels, but that was quite impressive. We're now talking about the evolutionary jump of rhinos from herbivory to carnivory, I guess is the... eating meat. So I actually don't know how to respond to that, because that is... I am genuinely thrown a little bit by this. I'm just looking at you with sheer shock at the
You're
minute.
Not thinking ahead, Joe. We're setting up new Earth. Earth's been here 4 billion years. That's a lot of evolutionary time we have to consider when we're bringing the new animals. We have to think what could become of them.
What makes you think then that that rhinos would go carnivorous?
Because they are evil incarnate, and all evil animals are carnivores. This is what Disney cartoons tell us, which has been previously established on the podcast that Disney is firmly rooted in biological fact. I mean, even if they don't evolve into super carnivores, you know, like rhino ancestors were some of the largest animals to walk the planet, the Paraceratherium. I'm very impressed I even got that out. It's 4 elephants in weight, taller than a giraffe. Who wants an animal that big? That's just a tremendous waste of space.
I disagree. I think those large animals are actually the ones that, per whatever you want to call it, per unit, are actually pretty powerful, you know, sort of world shapers. They also affect how the plants grow. Like, we've got to try and make this earth livable to us as well. So, you know, rhinos, and I'm actually going to side with the elephants, all of those, they actually do play a very important role in making planets livable, or at least make, you know, continuing to make them livable. And I think we've got to also consider what this new earth is going to look like. You know, do we want to spend our life in hazmat suits, or do we actually want to be on a livable planet? And I think if we want livable, we need to bring over those really incredible species. And I think the fear of rhinos becoming carnivorous is maybe a little bit of an overstatement. And if in several million years we find out that you're right,
you'll be kicking yourself.
Haunt me for, I'll be kicking myself. In millions of years, my descendants will be speaking to your descendants, being like, he was right, your grandfather was right, he was. But yeah, that's a big step, that one, to just say that, you know, in millions of years they could become carnivorous. Also, do rhinos eat any meat, or are they completely herbivorous? They're not omnivores at all, are they? They are.
Not that I've heard of. No,
they are just herbivores. They're mega herbivores. Like, they're all about, they're plant-based. They need to be on this ark. Because it's taking away, you know, the new diets as well.
It's just a fad, though, veganism. It's not a balanced diet. It's what leads to people having super skinny bods and eating deficiencies and disorders, and yeah, you can tell I know a lot about this subject. But let me ask you a direct question, Joe. Would you rather have, say, 1,000 hedgehogs or a rhino? Because these are the sort of decisions we have to make. There's a limited space on the new Earth. There's a limited space on the new Ark. Which, I mean, you're going to go for the hedgehogs, aren't you?
I think that in this new arc, it can definitely fit several rhinos. I think I would rather see a rhino, maybe not than 1,000 hedgehogs, but I think there needs to be a rhino on there. I think 1,000 hedgehogs. But like, what would you do with 1,000 hedgehogs? Like, what
Everything,
do they do?
Anything. Well, what couldn't you do with 1,000 hedgehogs is the better question.
I don't know. This is kind of like the question of, like, would you rather fight, like, one human-sized duck or 5 duck-sized humans or something?
Which?
Like, I think I would... I would rather fight the small humans than the big
would
duck.
Would you? I know.
I think the big duck.
You heard of the demon duck
of
doom?
I think the duck would be...
Australian megafauna species. You'll have to look up afterwards. Homework for all our listeners. Demon duck of doom. Human-sized duck.
The demon duck of doom. Now, I think I'm actually thinking about 1,000 hedgehogs. Now you throw me again with this 1,000 hedgehogs. Like, what? Also, like, we also need to talk about, like, we do need to have a conversation about the size of this ark, because, like, well, size of the ark, size of the planet, like, because that depends on what we can actually take.
Size
as well.
Of the ark.
This conversation might need to
be enough to play lawn bowls with 1,000 hedgehogs. Size of the planet. I think the planet is just like a 3D printed replica of Earth. So it's I think it's just carbon copy without all the stuff on it. That's how I imagine it.
Carbon copy with just
we
less carbon.
We have like a designer planet.
Less carbon in the atmosphere.
So you could sort of decide, I want a continent in the shape of a duck, or that you could have some fun with it. But it's quite earthy.
Okay. This is useful for moving forward, just to know kind of what we're playing
otherwise
with.
Otherwise you couldn't call it Earth 2.0. It would be a misnomer. It's like false advertising. You'd be sued.
Also, in your thing about having one rhino or 1,000 hedgehogs, it's a bit unfair because that's only one rhino. Like, that's not an investment in the future, having one rhino. Because as far as I know, rhinos don't self-reproduce. So I think you'd have to kind of, you know, make it fair and let's say like 10 rhinos versus 1,000 hedgehogs to make it like an actual... Mm. I know they're slightly different size and weight, but to actually make it a fair comparison, because I'm not going to pick one of any species because that species will likely falter as soon as we get there. So it's got to be a fair comparison, Elliot. You set me up to fail there.
Well, this brings me on to my next point, actually, which I thought I'd change things up this series, because our loyal listeners will know that last series I argued that every animal is a murderous nymphomaniac. So this time I'm going for murderous, but really bad at sex, because I thought it would add a new angle. Because obviously we're only bringing two rhinos on the ark, and we really, really need them to get down to it. They need to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no point. They're going to go extinct immediately.
I mean, also, if we're only bringing two of every animal, they are going to go extinct, whatever
really
the species.
Inbred.
Or they are going to be extremely inbred. Like, I'm thinking, like, in terms of genetics, that's a bottleneck and a half, that is. We may as well just, like, not bring anything with us if we're only bringing two of everything.
You get some really wacky evolutions. That's probably how you're going to get carnivorous rhinos, when the genes just get so screwed up because they've been inbred and inbred and bred. And they have, like, five heads.
Gosh, it's almost like you're kind of condoning, like, cross-species affairs. Mm. Like, we're just going to start, like, making random mixes. Also, you know, we're getting on this new arc. I also, this is a lot of questions. Sorry, this episode is a lot of me kind of getting the lay of the land. Are we talking that they must do the dirty, or is there going to be any sort of artificial work and help being put in to make sure the species survives?
Like, Joe, asking the big questions.
I gotta know,
what's
the tech on this planet? Like, are we talking artificial insemination? Has it got, you know... Do I need to bring a CD player? Like, what's the kind of conversation?
Frankly, we've never got down to the details. I like your logistical thinking. And the other point is we will change them every episode, as is convenient for my arguments. So I will be entirely inconsistent throughout the run of this series. The arc will shrink Earth will become a molten lava spewing nightmare, if need be.
I think we might need to set some rules. Maybe we need to set these rules out, because I feel like I'm actually on a lose. I thought I was going to be okay standing up for, you know, the rights of species and the moral high ground. But turns out if we don't know the logistics and the details, like, you've kind of got the upper hand, because you can throw out all these crazy statements and I have to try and back them with logic.
Well, you can make it up too.
And it goes to the saying that... I can always... They do say that bullshit baffles brains. That's a saying that I live by.
I liked your quotes earlier on.
I think it's pretty true.
I think I should just throw some completely unattributed quotes in just to further my argument. Yeah. The best one I got last series was the Oxford Book of Butterflies, or Field Guide to Butterflies, saying butterflies are shit. I thought that was absolute class. People who should like butterflies, absolutely nailing them. I haven't found a book of rhinos to do the same. But back on rhino sex, because I do think this point needs to be addressed. Whether or not we have artificial insemination, we are seriously screwed. Because even artificially inseminating rhinos is really fucking difficult. I mean, the cervix of a female rhino is between 8 and 12 inches of... You know, like the buzzer wire puzzles... where you have to pull the hoop through. It's like that, but even more complicated. So it's all U-turns and spirals and squiggles and whatever stupid evolution could throw at it. I mean, rhinos actually have prehensile penises to give them any chance of getting in there, but we've had to invent specialised, like, snake bots to crawl through this tunnel, and even then it's fiendishly, fiendishly hard. Because they're just really bad at sex.
I am honestly don't know whether to be impressed or concerned at your level of knowledge of rhinos' reproductive systems. I'm honestly...
Mastermind,
I thought I was thrown by the... Yeah, like, what's your chosen topic? Yeah. Rhino cervix. Like... But by that, I mean, how many humans are we taking on this this
humans
arc.
Haven't made it on yet, and they almost certainly won't if the prior series is anything to go by. So one thing we've consistently slagged off, both myself and various co-hosts, is humans. They are evil incarnate. Yeah. So I think myself and yourself are going to be on the Ark, which is kind of a cheat, but we're going to be need to be there to artificially inseminate the rhinos and make sure the dolphins don't eat the crocodiles and everything else. But apart from that, we're not bringing anyone. That's almost given.
Well, by that logic, then, humans are also going to... There's no point us being there, really. We're going extinct.
So you thought of that, really. I need to come up with a really hot, attractive co-host. This is going to be... Series 3, you're absolutely gone, Joe. We're going to be the last two humans alive, and we are going to keep humanity going.
Wow. I came on this after you asked me, and now you're just calling me ugly. Now I really relate to the rhino. Now I think, like, more than ever, I want the rhino to be. This is like our first tiff. This is. It's only like 30 minutes in. We're arguing. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm hanging up. I can deal with lots of things, but no. Gosh, Elliot, I didn't come on here to be insulted. Like, I thought this was going to be a friendly conversation.
You didn't read the terms and conditions.
Then,
fine.
No. Humans are also then, by default, not going to be on this planet in the future.
Oh, I don't know. We might have worked out how to do human parthenogenesis by then. We're pretty close to cloning humans. Although I appreciate this doesn't help my rhino argument, so I don't know how far I should go down this path. But
I want to explore this because I'm... If the argument about, you know, rhinos not being unisex, I was like, then is that the criteria for humans getting on it? Like the number of kids they've got or something?
We don't really need humans on the new Earth. I don't want to clone myself, as narcissistic fascinating as that is, as a prospect. It's slightly terrifying, I think. Would you live in a world with your clone self? This is like the most Freudian question ever. Come to learn the real Joe.
Would I want to live in a world with my clone self? Maybe. I'd be quite curious, just like, there's all that stuff, isn't there, about like, apparently if you were to walk down the street past your like self, you wouldn't recognize yourself and stuff like that. Because we're so used to seeing like how we perceive I got the hiccups. That's just how we perceive ourselves. So I'm like, maybe I would want to live on a planet with my clone and just see how long it takes me to find him. And just see what he gets up to. I also wonder, you know, like, I kind of want to do the experiments if, like, my same genes, but in a different environment, would I be a different, you know, what would I be
you
like?
You could seriously bust
this
open.
This is not anything again to do with rhinos.
No, that's the point of the podcast. We never actually talk about the animals. It's just random tangents.
That's good, because now I'm really intrigued by the thought of, you know, putting Joe, new Joe, in a different environment to what this Joe is and see what he becomes.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he'd be, like, actually a big game hunter. Mm. You know, he doesn't...
Or he'd become a rhino.
Like that, maybe. Or...
Yeah.
Or a rhino. Mm. That's evolution. That would be...
it'd be cool if that happened, wouldn't it? This is like...
I feel like a lot of your arguments are hinging on like millions of years worth of evolution.
I mean, there must be some point at which evolution starts replaying its greatest hits. There's anything the history of music has taught us, there's only so much original material you can pump out before you have to start going back to the old-timey classics.
That's true. That's true, actually. There's been some really good remixes of songs recently that I've quite enjoyed. But yeah, I take your point. You have to go back. But... I have lost my train of thought.
This is mostly my strategy.
I'm now thinking,
it's all mind games.
Baffle me. But, well, I mean, did you once know? This is another thing that if we're looking for sort of government of the new planet, that once a rhino received 100,000 votes in Sao Paulo in Brazil to be on the city council, and I found that really fascinating that they weren't. Unfortunately, the rhino wasn't allowed to take office. But I think that would have been... I would have loved to have seen that, because, like, Dogs are mayors in places, so I would kind of like to see a rhino in office just to see what they accomplish.
I don't know. Would you like a rhino in government? I mean, there's the obvious sarcastic point that they'd be better than most current governments in place, but would you vote for a rhino if you lived in Sao Paulo?
I think I'd vote for a rhino. They're tough. They've got what it takes. They know what it's been like to be in shit on in their life, so they're ready to make a change for positive, for
the world. What party do you think they stand on?
And I think, yeah, I would vote. Which party? I think they're pretty central. Maybe Liberal Democrat. I don't think they're a conservative. I don't think they've got the right... I think they're one of those people... I think they're... What are they called? Like, someone who tries to pretend to be conservative but is actually, like, kind of left-wing. As in, they're, like... there is a name for them, but I can't think what it is. But I think rhinos have got a good heart deep down.
No, I think they make awful politicians. I think they'd just be another Donald Trump. You just put them in that wig and sit them on top of a podium.
I mean... In terms of appearance,
can't
maybe.
You just picture that? That's,
I could see them looking quite
Donald Trump. That's such a conceivable image. And they're really stupid rhinos. That's documented scientific fact. I mean, they can't play chess, for a start, which is any animal that can't play chess. It's not making it on the arc. I'm going to make that clear at the start of Series 2. Any animal that can't play chess is an automatic veto on the new arc.
I can't play chess, so I'm not making it then. No, I think rhinos would actually make very good politicians, because for once, I think we would know where the politician stood on something.
Would you?
Like, I think rhinos will be... Well,
no,
I think you would.
Wouldn't,
like, obviously there's a language
because rhinos
barrier,
just communicate by pissing and shitting. And that's quite a hard language to communicate.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Also not a very pleasant language to have on board an ark for however many years we're travelling to 2.0. Because remember, space travel takes a long time.
Gosh,
but I mean, they piss up to 10 times an hour when they're patrolling. They piss when they're surprised and submissive and every other conceivable emotion. It's a pretty crap language.
Again, by that. Well, maybe we've just overcomplicated language. Maybe it says all it needs to say.
There's a really great Doctor Who comic relief special. Have you seen this one with Rowan Atkinson? About an alien race which has evolved to communicate via modulated farting. It's high quality British humour. But this is what I imagine rhinos would be like.
I think they've got integrity, and I think I could get over the piss and shit language. I think standing with someone with integrity, whether I could understand them or not, you know where you stand. If they're unhappy, they charge. If they're happy, they just kind of go about leaving you alone. They would do some good things in office. They would stand up for those, you know, look how they look after the oxpeckers. They've got a really good symbiotic relationship going on there with people. I actually think I would vote for a rhino. Maybe not as prime minister, but definitely in the cabinet.
Which ministerial position?
Like, you know,
agriculture, environment, finance.
Agriculture would be
foreign
a good
affairs.
One. Foreign affairs.
Okay.
I think foreign office. I think they'd be, you know where you stood. I think we need someone strong, you know, on this new planet. We need someone strong kind of dealing with, well, maybe it depends. This is another question about the new planet. Will there be countries in the sense, but there's no humans. So in that case, God, this is a Pandora's box. This is now we're talking geopolitics of Earth 2.0. Anyway, back to my original point. I would vote a rhino for office. Like I said, maybe not top job, but definitely in the cabinet at ministerial level.
Before you do so, can I just point out that rhinos, A, have nasal canals bigger than the brains. I mean, their EQ, so their civilization quotient, measure of how smart they are, is 0.5 at the maximum, mostly closer to 0.3. And to give you a baseline, most mammals tend to about 1 as a minimum for really stupid ones like, I don't know, hippos and big dumb beasts and cows. Dolphins are like a 4 and humans are about a 6 or 7. So rhinos are unquestionably really stupid, and they're also fundamentally racist in that the most common rhino species are black and white. So This is just continuing Earth's inequities, our racial segregation, even wealth inequality. You know, Rhino's face is worth $3 million over its lifetime. So, that's twice as much as an average person's lifetime earnings. These are the super rich. These are the Elon Musks of the animal world. How can you possibly like an animal like that?
Can you repeat the racist point? Actually, I missed that.
I was trying to gloss over that one slightly, actually. Yeah. Don't know if you noticed. Well, you have black rhinos and you have white rhinos. And you have black people and you have white people. And the white people are bigger and better. I don't know where this logic comes through. And white rhinos are bigger and better. And they outcompete the black rhinos. They're far more white rhinos than black rhinos. So it's just white supremacy all over again. That made more sense than I thought it would when I started, to be fair.
I mean, I got a few things to pick apart. Both white rhinos and grey and black rhinos are grey.
Yeah.
There's not actually a difference. And also, there's a couple of things about out-competing, and it depends. Like, in terms of size, yeah, the white rhino is bigger, but in terms of, like, niches, they do fill slightly different niches in terms of the food they eat. One is far more of a grazer, and the other one is far more of a browser, I guess you could call it. Like, with the black rhino, because of its lip type, is a different species. But I am... I would push back that they're not racist. I just think they've been kind of... labeled by humans in such a way, but really they're just getting along, they're just doing different things, and if they do happen to meet, then maybe they argue, but that's life. It's not racism. I think that's just life.
No, there are four times as many white rhinos as black rhinos, so they're clearly on the upper hand. Black rhinos are the minority, and white rhinos get to eat the luscious, sweet, juicy grass, whereas the black rhinos have to eat stupid thorny acacia bushes, which is awful. I mean, that's like finger-length thorns poking into your mouth every time you stop for a snack.
I mean, but surely acacias must be surprisingly rich, because, like, giraffes also eat acacias. So I'm like, surely there must be something we're missing in acacia trees. Maybe we're not paying enough attention.
Giraffes have really long tongues, so they don't get the thorns. Rhinos literally have to stick their face in this bush. It's this really nasty way to eat. they definitely get the bum deal.
I mean, if they can...
This is racism in action.
I mean, they're growing
to... I'm just not going to let you speak, so you can't get to point.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's... Okay, I'm going to... Let's just... Let's go run with your idea. How would you solve that on Earth 0.1, then? 1.0, not 2.0. What do we need to do with rhinos to...
Kill them all.
Inequality.
Let the apocalypse wipe them off from the face of the earth, and then they will all be equal in heaven.
Elliot, I didn't take you for this sort of format of approach to... Wow. You have thrown me today. I need to... Next week, I'm going to tackle this from a far different angle. I thought... was not expecting this sort of reasoning, and in many cases just no facts.
There are so many facts.
I am shocked
that rhinos are racist. Proven stated facts.
Is that going to be your new, like,
yeah,
is that the, you're going to get that on a t-shirt? Yeah. I think bless you. So I've got a few, yeah, I think I'll follow up with you a few things about your knowledge of rhinos' reproductive systems, the racism in rhino species. And so, yeah, I've got a few, not in this podcast, because I need to do some research on this before I
try to impregnate
you
rhino. Yeah.
Maybe as a... Okay. Interesting enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that rhinos don't deserve to make it on the new ark. I don't even see why we're debating this, to be honest. But I do have a few closing points to make. So I'll go sort of rapid fire style. Firstly, rhinos are terrible parents. I mean, the dads just run away before their offspring are even born. They are the very definition of absentee fathers. and therefore all rhinos grow up daddy issues, which is very bad when you have a big grey lumbering beast which can crush your head. So this isn't a good start. They are a poor moral example, and they are extremely sensitive on family matters. Secondly, they are just absolute cheats. So black and white rhinos, technically separate species, but they can still breed. So they defy Darwin, which, as we've established previously, Darwin is the moral gold compass of Earth 2.0. He is the new god. He is the almighty, and we must respect Darwin in every respect. And rhinos are just shitting on his legacy. Finally, on average, one rhino a year escapes from zoos across the globe, which is an astoundingly high figure. And given that we're trying to bring two on board our ark, this is just asking for trouble. I mean, you can't contain these things. They're just tanks. They will bust out and they will murder all the other animals on the ark, like foxes, elephants, dolphins. I was going to say pigeons, but that might be a stretch. Pandas, chimps.
Yeah.
Maybe not parrots or butterflies. Possibly armadillos. Fungi. Yeah. You could trample fungi. Bees, maybe. Do you think a rhino could take on a bee? And jaguars. That's my excuse to read out the animals that are on board the Ark, in case anyone's interested.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I've actually want to come back, actually, a little more to my closing points about your statement on rhino racism. Is that, did you in fact know that it was said by someone that no beast has put up a greater fight against the British Empire than the rhino? So they were the early anti-colonists of the world. And I think that's important to have on our new planet to avoid the kind of lessons, the problems of the past, is having something that's willing to, and this goes back to my whole thing about them being good politicians. I actually can't believe I forgot this point. They are, this is why I thought they actually might be left-wing, because they stand up for what's right. And they won't be caged. And yes, that provides logistical issues on an ark. But I think in terms of moral and in terms of the way they look at the world, we need that on Planet 2.0. It's not going to be easy on Earth 2.0. We need something tough. We need a leader, because it's not going to be humans. We need a leader that will take on it. And I don't think elephants have got it. I don't think dolphins have got it. Rhinos have got it. They've got the tough, can-do attitude to make this new world livable and better than this Earth. They're also, you know, there's some other things I could go on about. The dung that they produce that you said, like, they only communicate with dung. Like, dung is actually very valuable, and if this new planet is to be livable, dung. Dung, okay. You need dung.
Just generally.
I have lots of other arguments.
Yeah.
Just lots of dung. Everything's shit. Like, basically, when you look at it, everything is shit. This is not about rhinos, but someone was telling me that something like every piece of soil has been through a worm. Mm. Well, and it's, I was like, so it's, we are basically all shit. And again, I really want to go back to, everyone has grossly misunderstood rhinos. They're grumpy, they're cantankerous, but that's just because we can't control them. And I think the bad rep they get is because we as humans don't like not being able to control everything, and rhinos would be the ones to set us right. So I'm going to say that rhinos need to be on Earth 2.0 to sort the problems of Earth 1.0 out and make sure they don't repeat themselves.
Ooh, so powerful, so deep. I'd just like to say that someone once said rhinos are shit. I think I need to balance the unattributed quotes sort of scale there, slightly. And someone also once said that Joe doesn't know what he's talking about, and he is a secret rhino in a human skin, and therefore should be disqualified from this debate. And I said that, in case you're wondering.
I mean, the first point is definitely true. I have no idea what I'm talking about half the time.
Join the club.
The second point, I can neither confirm nor deny. But the first point is, I have no idea. But that's it. That's my rhino facts and my rhino points. And I hope that people listening will do the right thing and stand up for rhinos.
Yeah, not making it on the new arc. So, you know what we're going to have to do. We are going to have to leave it up to you, our faithful listener, who almost certainly switched off when Joe said he didn't like cats. and everyone else he pissed off, including golfers and cricketers and all sorts of other people I've now forgotten who are subsequently going to be pissed off at me. So head to @NewArkHives on social media. Yuck a vote wherever you find your social stuff. Again, I'm an expert on this subject matter. Let us know. Should rhinos make it aboard the new ark? Should they gain a lifetime of 4 billion years salvation on a new paradise? Or should they be condemned to fire and brimstone? The answer is always C, which is the latter. Okay. Join us next week when we will be discussing another animal. And Joe, I believe you have chosen an animal for us to discuss. What shall we be talking about? It's so exciting.
It's like, I feel like I need a drum roll.
Do you want to do what? We definitely need an SFX budget on this podcast. Like,
have you ever watched... Have you ever watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No.
This is a random thing. Oh, I won't bother. There's a scene that I was going to do related to a drum roll.
I haven't watched Friends either. This was a shock from the last episode. I'm really out of date on my TV pop culture. Sorry.
Anyway, we will be discussing...
Okay, another guaranteed win for me.
I was going to do the Jaws theme tune, but then I realised it was a bit slow. It was going to be like, shark. Another misunderstood creature that has been vilified by the press.
Oh, so PC.
Does so much for our planet that needs to be on Earth 2.0, which I'm assuming has oceans, because you said it's a carbon copy.
What?
So I hope...
I actually said it's 3D printed, so it's all made out of plastic. But, yeah. I think the sharks are screwed.
Yeah. Anyway.
Can we just close the case there?
I think sharks... I think you'll be surprised. I think sharks are going to be a secret favourite of people.
You know what, Joe? I think if sharks make it on board, you can choose all the animals for the rest of the series. How about that? We're going to put this on the table right now. If you manage to get sharks on board the new ark, you have complete control over the rest of this series run. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's virtually shake on that. Like. Right, okay. Yeah, sharks it is, and then we'll see. And I hope that I will be reminding everybody at the start of next episode what's on the table, because even if they don't support sharks, I hope they vote to save them just so I can be in control. Cool.
Join us next week. Friday. I think we're releasing episodes on Friday. We record them on Tuesdays, but you should know that. It's a secret. Well, we're actually in underground bunkers, absolutely cut off from the world. And we have to go through 5 levels of security to get to the new ark. So if you're very, very good, we might reveal where it is. But currently it's invisible. It's got active cloaking on it. And it's really small. I didn't tell Joe this. Joe hasn't seen the new ark yet. You don't think it exists, but it does. It's my secret vessel. Join us next week to discuss sharks and to see whether Joe can match my nonsense. See you then. Goodbye.